Now, back to a couple of guys who thought Lassie could never really do any of that stuff anyway, and that Timmy was the brains of the operation. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a first-time guest on the line, Eric Scarlatta, who works in business development for Pond Builder. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Yes, good morning. I appreciate the opportunity here, as does Pond Builder.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Aaron, can you explain for our listeners who might not be familiar with Pond Builder exactly what it is that you guys do?
Well, great. We are a Michigan-based company here, and we distribute water garden supplies and equipment all across the United States as well as outside. It's exciting for us because we're seeing a definite growth in the water garden industry, and because we are one of the elite manufacturers around, kind of makes it exciting here in Michigan.
Well, I'm sure that it does. And Aaron, when you're talking about ponds, just so we can clarify so that our listener understands, you're talking more about a man-made, smaller type of backyard type of pond as opposed to the natural ponds that you would see in nature. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Two good definitions. One would be a water garden, something that a homeowner or possibly a business would have on their location at their home or the facility. The other would be what I call more or less an earth pond. It could be created by man, but often it's not used. It's used man-made earth materials, clay, bottom ponds, which I call them earth ponds.
Yeah, and we're going to get AirMax on the show after you, and they're going to talk more about natural ponds. Maybe because I know enough about Pond Builder and what you guys offer, we'll carry on, kind of focus our attention. If somebody wants to put in basically a rubber-lined pond, the kind of, you know, challenges or accomplishments they can get. I wanted to first thank you for all your hard work. We really appreciate, I don't know, of the listeners who got to see our display at the home show, but you really did a fantastic job within the square footage we had. I think we had a 10 by 20 spot, and you really knew how to put that thing together using, you know, just smart. So thanks for doing that. And
you really
displayed one concept that I think that the average person out there doesn't even know about, and that's what we call vanishing waterfalls. Maybe discuss that a little bit and why those come into play in the market.
Well, it was exciting because the Lansing Home Show was a great example for somebody to come out and learn about water features. It was a perfect opportunity. So many were on display. And as you mentioned, Rick, that the cascading falls or vanishing type of feature, one where the water would come down and kind of just disappear, is a hot trend right now. We're seeing a strong growth on that side, and certainly our equipment sales have shown that as well. There's a lot of versatility with that type of water feature. For somebody who enjoyed the sound and the look of a waterfall, but maybe were hesitant on taking on a pond because they didn't really want fish or water plants, what's happening is that over the last 5 years, we've noticed a trend that those types of homeowners who like the sound of water but didn't want the maintenance of maybe a pond are finding that cascading falls or these vanishing to be really hot for them. So it seems to appeal to all the senses and has really been a good investment for them at their homes.
It seems like the only limitation is a sense of creativity, because there's nothing more dramatic and fun than making a waterfall.
Oh, absolutely. Back and forth. It's fun. And the thing about a water feature is that often a waterfall built out of dry laid stone can be changed year after year if you like. It depends on what degree in the hobby you want to be involved. And it's nice because typically a homeowner is not going to tear up their patio just to change a line. But in a water feature, you could tear up a little bit of stonework and change the whole look overall just on one weekend.
And I'm going to be a little prejudicial here. I love fish. So maybe shift gears a little bit for that person that does want to kind of embark upon a beautiful water garden in their backyard. Is it quite a challenge? Is it going to be difficult for them? And pardon me for leading the witness, but you know, I was just hoping you could comment a little bit about what's out there in the way of equipment and supplements that really makes that far less a challenge than it was even 10, 15 years ago.
Sure. Well, you know, Rick, what I like to make a great comparison that you're very well familiar with is just like having an aquarium. And so if somebody, the hobbyist, enjoys fish, typically they may start by history of having an aquarium maybe as a child. And so what they realize is that as they buy a home, they can actually embellish on that interest and move into a pond. And so where I think about equipment-wise, and I tell a lot of our retailers this, is that if you're going to try to make sure a homeowner understands what it's like to have a pond, relate to something that they may be more familiar with of having an aquarium as a child. And when you buy an aquarium, you're going to walk out with a tank or more or less a rubber liner like you would for a pond. Then you're going to also have stone and gravel. The reason why you need stone and gravel is because you need surface area. If you think of a gravel, it's more or less a bunch of surface area, and that's good for growing beneficial bacteria. And once you grow beneficial bacteria in a pond or in an aquarium, you find that the water care is very low. There's not as much maintenance because you're harboring a good environment for them to live in, the fish. So more or less I feel that if you take on the same qualities as you do in an aquarium as you do in a pond, the maintenance will be low for either one. And the most important thing is adding air. So you would have an aeration system in an aquarium. You would also have an aeration system in a pond, whether it's through a moving waterfall or an airstone itself. So when it comes to the equipment, what Pond Builder has really done is that we've created mechanical filters, like a skimmer box, where the pump can sit to keep the pump very accessible and less maintenance. We also developed a waterfall filter, which allows the homeowner to create a nice waterfall look, or a contractor to build an elaborate waterfall. And it's all hidden, so the filtration is actually not in the eyesight. So it really works. Pond Builder has developed a full circle solution around the same concepts as it would be for maybe an aquarium.
And what I like about your line is that it really is great for both a landscaper that really wants to put in, you know, the best of systems for a very ambitious project, and then you also happen to have some lines that work very well for the do-it-yourselfer at home. Maybe comment a little bit about that and, you know, how one identifies himself as one or the other, when they need to get a landscaper in there to do the job, or when they can kind of, you know, go to challenge and accomplish things.
Well, water gardening's fun, first and foremost, and it's going to be fun, hopefully, for the contractor as well. But for those homeowners that want to take on the challenge of building a water feature, the most important thing is try to keep it fun. You certainly have a vision to work with. And so when you go to selecting your equipment, what's nice is that the Pond Builder brand has created a good, better, best scenario depending on a few things. One, it may be your skill set, what you feel most comfortable doing when you do the install process, or two, a budgetary. So you have several options to kind of go off of when you have the good, better, best line from Pond Builder. And so when you pick your equipment, hopefully working with either our website at pondbuilder.com, or you could certainly go to our distributors' websites and get some information, or go straight to the retail store, they're going to walk you through the steps of installing a water feature. Really, it's a step-by-step approach to make a weekend warrior project out of anybody.
That's fantastic. And then one thing else that I know you carry, and you carry an excellent selection of, are basically the types of things that the average user right now that has a water garden can take advantage of. And that's, you know, success in a bottle, not saying that, you know, you have to be an appropriate and responsible fish feeder, do the water changes and the cleaning as necessary. But beyond that, you can definitely increase in great ways the chance of success by adding bacterias and products that deter algae. Can you talk a little bit about that and how powerful that is?
Sure. As I mentioned, that there was it's necessary to have some gravel and rock in a pond to really help develop this space for beneficial bacteria to grow. The water treatments, and I like to refer to them as water treatments, the water treatments that you're going to add into the pond or the cascading water feature are there to work with nature. It's important to choose products that are going to make life easier for everybody. So we try not to use too many what I like to call chemicals, because chemicals tend to make it harder on the long run. So the water treatments that I would select, certainly the Pond Builder line, it's all safe for fish and other plants and animals that may be drinking from it. you want to have them. There's a select number of beneficial bacteria and then what you could call maybe an algicide that you would use to keep a water feature maintained. And let me give you an example, Rick, if I can. A pond, let's say, is 11 foot by 16 foot, maybe 2 foot deep. You're dealing with about 2,000 gallons. If you go and spend about 5 minutes a week, at the most, 5 minutes a week, which you're going to already be out there anyway because you're going to be enjoying your water feature, that's what it takes to add a few little drops, maybe a couple ounces of a water treatment and a scoop of powder bacteria, allow that to mix within your pond and your filtration system, and it should remain healthy for you all season long.
And one thing I might mention, because there's people that are going into their second, third, or maybe 20th year of having their pond, there are products that are really right up the alley right now as far as being appropriate in there. Talk a little bit about what, if you were walking into your backyard now, what would you want to be thinking about adding right now?
Sure. Well, I think with to kind of elaborate on the water treatment side, if you already have an existing pond, right now is the time to be looking at getting your pond serviced and set up for a cleaning. And this is happens maybe every year, maybe every 3 years, somewhere in that time range, depending on the pond. But spring clean is a cold water bacteria by Pond Builder. Right now, the water temperature is really cool coming out of the tap. So if you're doing any water changes, you're power spraying anything down, get to make sure you use a cold water bacteria. This way, the bacteria levels will grow and they'll help keep the pond balanced as you come into the early spring. When it comes to shopping for new ideas, you could consider, often if you already have an existing water feature, homeowners are coming in the stores right now shopping for maybe an add-on waterfall. Maybe this year they're going to add a secondary waterfall onto their pond because there's appropriate sizes. Maybe a 10-inch or a 20-inch little waterfall would add a great amount of sound and aeration and give them another project for the summer. So people are looking for new ideas with that. They're also looking for little bubbling fountains, something that maybe it's a person with a smaller yard, they're looking for a front yard water feature. Then you have the bubbling rock fountains and vase fountains that are also very popular.
Aaron, I have a question. I've actually seen indoor ponds where people have built streams and had koi inside their home. What's the difference between an indoor and an outdoor? What do you need to do in order to keep everything going properly indoors?
Oh, that's a great question, because for about 12 years I had an indoor pond at my original retail store I had in Southern Ohio, and it's exciting because I had about an 8 foot wide by 40 foot stream kind of pond, and it wasn't very deep, but I had large koi in there, maybe a foot and a half. And the interesting thing is people would always ask, well, can I have a pond indoors? And I would look and say, well, this one's been here for 10 years. It's been here for 12 years, so on and so forth. So, yes, you can. You can have ponds indoors. The thing that the big differences between them is that the pond's probably not going to have any natural light. Often indoors, you don't have direct sunlight coming into it. So actually the maintenance even drops more because sunlight does grow algae through photosynthesis. You don't tend to have
Aaron, I'm sorry to cut you off, but we've run out of time. But I want to thank you for coming on the show. We've been talking this morning with Aaron Scarlatta, who is a business development for Pond Builder, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Join our Facebook page at Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. You can upload your own pictures, make comments, and interact with other pet enthusiasts.